Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, episode 27 of season 2. My co-host David Todd's not with me tonight. He's tied up out of town, had a busy day today, and he couldn't be with me tonight. Before I bring on my guest tonight, I want to plug a little stuff for David Todd. He'll be on ESPN 970 in Pittsburgh next week on Wednesday through Friday from 10 to 12 Eastern time, sitting in for Stan Saverin there. So, you know, make sure, you know, David does a great job. If it wasn't for David, these podcasts wouldn't have developed the way they've done over the couple years, you know, that we've been a year and a half or so that we've been doing them and all. So make sure you support him on 970 ESPN this week, and you can follow him online on Twitter at Hammer Speaks as well. Sitting in for David tonight is a good friend of mine. He's been with me before, especially in the training camp there. He filed a report for us from training camp. He does a lot of my dirty work as far as charting some stuff for Steelers games every week. He doesn't get enough credit for what he does. He watches a lot of film with me, and it's Nick Ricchetta. You know him on Twitter at SteelCityKid117. Hey, Nick, welcome back to the Terrible Podcast.
Thanks, Dave. Glad to be back.
Nick, let's get right to it here. We're at the I tell you what we should probably do is the Steelers Friday injury report, of course, came out today. Kind of littered with some bodies, a mass unit that me and David talked about the other week. I guess the real surprise is, David and I talked the other day about Casey Hampton and missed Wednesday and Thursday. I was pretty sure, you know, there wasn't much about this injury, Nick, heading into this week. I was pretty sure he's going to practice today and probably be listed as questionable. But instead, he's listed as out along with James Harrison, Chris Kimuatu, Aaron Smith, and Mawaldi Moore and Jason Worlds. What's your thoughts about Hampton being out this week?
It's going to be a big blow with the way the defensive line and the defense has been looking lately, struggling stopping the run, which is unlike a Steelers defense. So, you know, it's going to be a big blow there in the middle. But as Coach Tomlin always says, the standard is the standard. And I believe you got two reliable guys behind him in veteran Chris Hogue and the young kid, the phenom, coming out of training camp and the preseason, Steve McClendon. I think both of those guys can get it done. And they're going to have to show it with the time they're going to get.
You know, what's interesting about McClendon is even last week, I know you do my offensive work, and Michael, I was going to have Michael on tonight, but he got tied up, does my defensive work, a lot of my charting for him. McClendon only played one snap last week, and as you said, the guy had a pretty good training camp and good preseason as well, and I find that kind of interesting. So, you know, I'm with you. I think Hoke and McClendon are probably going to swap off there, especially in the base at nose tackle. I know Hoke can fill in a little bit more, has some good snaps in the past, playing some defensive end in the rotation there. But another guy out, of course, is James Harrison with that right orbital bone fracture. And, Lawrence Timmons is going to be shifted to the outside there, Nick, to the right outside spot. What are you kind of looking for from him this week?
I think Lawrence is going to get after. I think he's going to get after the quarterback a lot. I mean, coming out of Florida State, he was a pass rushing specialist. You know, he played that outside backer, the defensive end position out there, and I really think he's going to get after it. A lot of people, you know, the knock on him is he's a little bit undersized, and they say, you know, he can get swallowed up by bigger tackles and stuff like that. You know, I'm not buying it too much. I mean, he's too explosive off the edge, and, you know, no one can replace a guy like James Harrison, but I think Lawrence is going to do just fine out there and be very disruptive in the backfield and really get after the quarterback.
Yeah, and, you know, Dick LeBeau, there was an interview with him from yesterday when the coordinators talked that, you know, he basically said that, you know, this is a guy that'll have to, you know, hold that edge out there and keep, make sure Chris Johnson doesn't get outside out there. And it's not a new position for Timmons either. He's played about six or seven in six or seven games, LeBeau stated yesterday at the right outside spot. He got some work during the preseason as well there. So, you know, that'll definitely be a key point in this game. Aaron Smith's going to be out, but personally, I don't see that as the way he's played through the first, you know, few weeks of the season here. Not a big loss. We get Brett Kiesel back, which I think is pretty big at right defensive end. That allows Ziggy to go back over to that left side. So, yeah, that's the injury report there. You know, another thing, I guess, you know, Rashard Mendenhall, I guess it's going to be a wait and see. He's questionable heading into this game. I think they're going to evaluate him more on Saturday, and you could see a situation where, you know, he might be ruled out on Saturday, and they might have to activate John Clay as a break glass in case of an emergency situation to the 53-man roster. So, Steeler Nation, that's something to look out for tomorrow. If that news breaks, I'll have it up on SteelersDepot.com as well. Nick, you of course do a lot of my offensive work for me. You watch probably, you know, a good amount of tape like I do. Give me your synopsis of the Steelers offense, you know, through the first 4 weeks of the season, which you've seen on tape.
Obviously I'm seeing a lot of what everybody else is seeing. The offensive line is struggling heavily. I mean, no matter who they rotate in there, you know, Jonathan Scott was really struggling there and he got hurt. Trey Essex came in, didn't do any better. They almost couldn't even touch defensive ends and outside backers coming off the edge. It was, you know, to be blunt, pretty pitiful and pathetic at times. You know, Kimowatu has been inconsistent. Raymond Foster, I mean, I haven't heard his name much, which means he might be right now the best out of all those offensive linemen. Marcus Gilbert looks like a rookie at times. You know, sometimes he flashes, you know, brilliance, and then other times he just gets, you know, beat real bad. And even Marquise Pouncey in there, the disease kind of seems to be spreading to him even a little bit. I mean, he's still, you know, one of the top centers in the league, probably still our best offensive lineman, but even he seems to be struggling a bit. So the offensive line definitely need to be picking it up this week. And with the addition of Max Starks, I'm really glad to have him back. I'm sure Ben's even more glad to have him back. Seems like he might be starting over there then at left tackle. I hope he's in great football shape because he's going to be, it's kind of baptism by fire for him. And, you know, I don't see how he can play worse than anybody else has. So, you know, you might as well give him a shot. The skill positions, they've been struggling a little bit, but with the offensive line playing how they are, I don't see how they can get anything going anyway. I mean, Rashard Mendenhall is an explosive back. Sometimes he seems to be tiptoeing a little too much, you know, and there's not many holes to be had. So I think he needs to just jam it up in there sometimes, take his 2 yards in a cloud of dust instead of trying to bounce it outside and tiptoe behind the line, you know, losing 3 yards. Ben is still being Ben, breaking tackles back there. Still, you know, people say he holds the ball too long, but with the offensive line playing how they are, he just wants to try and make a play. And I know he doesn't like to blame his lineman. He always puts all the blame on himself, but there's really no blame to go for Ben. I mean, he's had some errant throws and some bad decisions, you know, especially in that Ravens game, and, you know, but you really can't put the blame on Ben because he seems to have no time to throw. And as far as wide receivers go, Mike Wallace picked up where he left off last year. He's a burner. It doesn't look like anybody in this league can cover him one-on-one. He's just too fast. And Emmanuel Sanders and Antonio Brown seem to be looking like rookies a little bit. I mean, still making some big catches here and there, but, you know, Antonio Brown, I've noticed him miss a bunch of hot routes already this year. You know, there's guys in Ben's face, and Antonio, he's throwing the ball to him, and Antonio's not even looking yet. Same with Emmanuel Sanders. He's not looking back fast enough. So those guys are seeming to look like rookies a little bit. They definitely need to step up. But honestly, I think it all starts up front with the offensive line. They got to get something going, and they definitely have to establish the run because, you know, this, you know, 50, 60 yards a game on the ground, it's just not cutting. And if you can't run the ball in this league, I know it's kind of becoming more of a passing league, but Steelers need to be able to run the ball, and they just have no holes and no time to do anything.
You know, with against the Titans this week, you know, we'll be starting our fifth different combination of offensive line in as many weeks, and you know that has to say, you know, the continuity is just hasn't been there, and I don't see how it can be there with all the shuffle that they've had. You know, I guess the biggest thing for me is, you know, I go through and I grade these guys, you know, the best I can. You know, of course, I don't know the actual assignments. I'm going off of years of watching the Steelers play and what I think the assignments are. You know, a lot of Chris Kimoto, his struggles, you know, now it's come to light about that knee and you know, basically played with one hand, evidently, against the Texans, and he probably would have even sat, according to Bruce Arians, if they would have had the healthy bodies there. And now Legursi's going to start in that left guard spot this week with Kimoto down. I don't actually see that as a bad thing right there, because I think you know, the Steelers like to run that trap and pull the left guard to the right-hand side. One thing that Kimoto usually excels at, and I don't think they're going to lose that portion. I think Legursi has a little bit more short area quickness than Kimoto does, and it's just a matter of, can he clear the hole when he gets there? What have you kind of seen as far as you know, with the coverages? I know what I've seen as far as with Wallace and all like that. Are they bracketing him? What are you seeing? Are you seeing them trying to be weary of taking the deep pass and a home run away from him?
Later in the games, they have obviously he busted out in those first three games. So there in the Texans game, they started keeping a high safety over the top and bracketing him a little bit, you know, giving him those crossing routes and those underneath routes. But it really seems like they were definitely trying to prevent him from getting the long ball. But honestly, you know, going back to the offensive line, there's no time to even throw the long ball, even as fast as Mike Wallace is. He doesn't even have enough time to go down the field before Ben's getting hit. But they're definitely bracketing him. They're giving the underneath routes and stuff like that, and just, you know, relying on their four defensive linemen that they have down there to just get to Ben. And unfortunately, their four defensive linemen were beating off five offensive linemen, and that just can't happen.
Yeah, I'm seeing that as well. Also, with the, you know, like you said, you chart you know, how many people are rushing and whether or not teams are blitzing against us. Their teams are getting home with it, you know, especially with teams that play like a 4-3 situation. Teams are able to put pressure on us with just four guys, and that has to stop.
Oh, definitely. I mean, if you can't have five guys up front blocking four, you definitely got a big issue. And it's not that they are getting physically outmatched, you know, especially on the edges. You know, Trey Essex and Marcus Gilbert at times are just too slow. They're just getting beat right off the snap and, you know, beat right around the edge. But in the middle, it seems like it's a lot of communication issues. You know, in those first couple games, Pouncey and Legursi really seem to be having issues, switching on guys, picking up blitzing backers. If there was a stunt on the defensive line, it just really seems like the interior guys, you know, those two guards and Marquise there in the middle, are really, really struggling to pick up those stunts and blitzes, and that's just mental errors. I mean, physical errors are going to happen. If you're outmatched, you're outmatched. You know, Trey Essex, let's be honest, is not going to be able to block Mario Williams one-on-one. And, you know that, so you got to kind of, you know, roll away from that or step up in the pocket. But these mental errors where you can't pick up, you know, a blitzing backer or a stunt there in the middle, and they're getting home with four guys, I mean, there's no excuse. And Kugler and Tomlin, those guys, you know, got to get in there and get their hand dirty and fix these problems.
You know, there was a tweet by Jerry Dulac, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that said coaches said that the game against the Texans might have been the best of Pouncey's career. And I didn't see that, man. And there was also a tweet, I forget who tweeted it earlier in the week. One of the media guys said that might have been that Foster graded out as the best lineman there. So if that was Marquise Pouncey's best game as a Steeler, and if Ramon Foster graded out the best for the game, what? I don't know what somebody's seeing there. I don't know if that's just a coach giving the media lip service or what, but I certainly didn't see it during that Texans game for sure. I thought, you know, what I thought with Ramon Foster is I thought that was just a typical Ramon Foster game. You know, not good, not bad, not flashy. He seemed to do a lot better when he and Gilbert, you know, were double-teaming the defensive tackle there at the point of attack, and that seemed to be a good part of their running game there. And, you know, I think one thing – well, let me ask you this, Nick. Playing, we're coming up into the Sunday game at home against the Titans. What do you do on offense right now? You got a new left tackle in Max Starks playing his first NFL action in, I guess, what, about 9 months with 3 days of practice. You've got Ligurski at left guard. You got Ramon Foster at right guard. How are you running the offense this week?
If it were me running the offense, I think I got to get the ground game going first. I mean, as hypocritical and as just obvious as that sounds, you know, you've got to get the ground game going. There's no excuse for not being able to run the football. This, you know, 50 yards a game on the ground total is just not cutting it. And one thing I haven't seen them do much this year that I really think they got to start doing a little bit to back defenses off is start throwing some screens. If they're going to get in there that quick, you know, especially with four guys, and, you know, I saw when I was charting the Texans game, you know, they sent seven guys a bunch of times. If they're going to be sending that many guys and these ends are just going to be flying up the field, you know, one way to stop these ends from just, you know, pinning their ears back and coming after the quarterback is either you run underneath them with Mendenhall or you throw a screen. And I think that's what they got to get to, you know. They're just trying to run too many complicated routes, and, you know, then he just doesn't have time for even that five-step drop and, you know, to sit back there and scan the field. They either got to get the ball out of his hands quick, start throwing some screens, or start running off tackle and run underneath these guys that are just flying upfield.
Yeah, in defense a little bit, there were a couple of those screens that were kind of blown up just so damn quick. One of them, I think, Rashard was on the ground. It was either Rashard or Mawaldi was on the ground when he had to throw it to him. And the other time, I think it was Mario Williams had just so deep penetration on the outside against Essex that Mendenhall had to go around him to even get to the flat, which messed up the timing of the whole play there. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think that, you know, a few screens will help. I definitely think running the ball early, not so much, you know, okay, if you're not effective that. Yeah, you know, of course, we need to be effective at it, but you've got to do something to keep them honest, to hopefully bring some play action into play here, because that's the only thing that's going to soften up these safeties, you know, and the Titans are going to be without Chris Hope, who broke his forearm. He's out a few weeks, so they're going to be without him, former Steeler. And I'm with you. You know, I think that with this new, you know, fifth variation of the offensive line this week, that, and I told David this the other day, that you know, offensive linemen, they love to run block. They'd rather run block than they would pass block. And I think we need to hit that early and often here. And, you know, not ignore the passing game, but I'm with you. I would like to see some short, you know, some short hitches real quick to Wallace, or, you know, those back shoulder passes to Antonio Brown we're seeing more of this year. We saw a couple of them last week against the Texans. Those were nice. You know, if we can get in a situation where we're not having to hold back Heath Miller into block in protection sometimes, you know, I think he's got a good opportunity to have a good six or seven catch game against the Titan as well. So, you know, I'm definitely with you there. I think that's how we need to attack the Titans. We got to run first to set up the pass instead of pass to set up the run this time around. So, defensive side of the ball, I know you don't do a lot of film study other than, you know, probably getting through certain parts of the game there. What's going on with the defensive linemen? I'm seeing a lot of bodies on the ground on the front three there. Is that what you're seeing? And what are you seeing with the inside linebackers?
I'm seeing two things. Either these guys are – the defensive linemen seem like they're getting cut down a lot, which, you know, I'm not one to complain. But if they're getting cut down, something needs to be done about it. Either, you know, if they're illegal cut blocks, then the league needs to step in. Or if these guys are getting cut, you know, they need to back off a little bit, let these guys fall at their feet and make a play. And number two, it just looks like they're getting blown off the ball. I mean, that might be the most frustrating thing for me watching these football games. I mean, we've seen Ben get hit a lot, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. We've seen our run game struggle. But I have never seen a Steelers defense get gashed on the run like they are this year. And, you know, Lawrence Timmons just getting that big contract has been, you know, basically invisible this entire season so far. Unfortunately, I love James Ferrier, but right now he's looking very slow. He's looking his age. And, you know, A very telling play that I saw last week is when he had a chance to stop Arian Foster there on a 3rd and 1, and he blew up Foster behind the line. He had him for a 1 yard loss, and Foster just ran right through him and ended up getting the first down. And I know James only plays at about, 225 pounds, but, maybe it's time for him, to start stepping back. And I know they're getting Larry Foote in there a little bit too, but, all those guys have been missing a lot of tackles. And, getting with these defensive linemen being cut down and then getting blown off the ball and all these linebackers missing tackles and even Woodley out there missing tackles, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I've been very disappointed with the linebacker play so far. Outside of really Harrison, I thought's been holding his own, although he hasn't been getting the sacks or the pressure that he normally gets. I think that has a little bit to do with his back, and also a little bit to do with teams are aware of him now, and there's been more conscious effort to put for the teams that use a fullback or an H-back. Texans last week, I think they dressed 4 tight ends last week, and they had the 3 of them in usually a lot. They used a lot of 13 personnel packages last week against the Steelers, and really just they took it to them. You're right. They blew them off the ball. That opening drive, 19 plays or whatnot, and even two penalties involved in there. It was like nothing. And those penalties didn't even faze them because they were just gashing you out the middle and blowing off the ball. Casey Hampton, I'm with you on these cut blocks. I mean, the league is wants to make the offensive even, give them even more advantage. Now, you can't hardly touch these receivers coming off the line. You can't even hit these running backs helmet to helmet like James Harrison did last year, with Cribs and all like that. And I know why they're doing it. A, to probably try to protect these players a little bit, and B, to have more scoring. Everybody, they want a more of an arena like light the scoreboard up type league, I guess. But on the flip side, they want to fine everybody for different type of blocks, like Legursky's fine for blocking, more of a clip a few weeks ago against the Seahawks, and, Troy for the horse collar. But on the flip side, they claim they want to protect these players, but they let these legal, cut and chop blocks happen when you have a player engaged with one and the guy right next to him's taking his knees out. I've always been a fan of one-on-one cut blocks. Hey, if a guy can't protect himself from a one-on-one battle from an athletic guy going low on him real quick, that's fine. But to be engaged with one player and have another player go after your knees, to me, that's kind of hypocritical right now of the league. And I'm surprised we haven't seen any big injuries on this. I guess now, with Hampton out, we don't know really what play that happened on and all, but I'm with you. I mean, either tilt some of the rules back in a defense favor here, or give them a little break too. And maybe in the off season, let's get rid of this, engaged cut blocking.
I completely agree. I mean, I think I speak for every NFL fan. Not just Steelers fans, every NFL fan, we just want our football back. We want our old NFL back. I mean, they're just trying to dictate this league way too much with all these rules they're putting in. And James Harrison, said it best about all this stuff with these concussion rules and stuff they put in. He said he'd rather be, cracked in the face, cracked in the head, a million times. Come after my head, give me a concussion, I'll be out a week, but don't go after my knees and end my career. You know what I mean? And they're enforcing it, on certain things. Like even Antonio Brown there got a fine for that illegal cut block on that interception. But, they're not enforcing it on the defensive line, which could be the most scary, because those guys are engaged already. You got your feet planted in the ground and some guy dives at your knees and hyperextends it backwards. These guys could tear ACLs. Especially a guy like Casey Hampton, carrying 320 pounds, in his upper half. I mean, his knees are just going to blow right out, and it could end his entire career. And, they're just trying to dictate this league way too much. And I just want my NFL back.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm old school. I'm in my 40s. I just want to let them play. And the thing about Casey Hampton that's showing up on film, and him and Aaron Smith this past week, is I know Hampton for sure. There's times where he's so concerned about getting cut that he's not holding the point of attack, you know, there, you know, blocking the hole up there. That's been half his battle. Chris Hoke, bless his heart, he gives 110%. He's going to be in there. I'm not sure he needs that many snaps this week. We talked about McClendon at the top of the show there. That's the kid I want to see in there this week, you know, because I think this guy has been fantastic. I think he's got good lower quickness to maybe – you know, get in and bust up some timing of some running plays there and force Chris Johnson outside. And, you know, that's one thing I kind of look forward to. What, you know, have you gotten to see much of the Titans this year, Nick? You know, what do you think that they're going to do on their side of the ball this week?
I haven't gotten to see very, very much of them. I've been keeping track of some stats, you know, because I play fantasy football and whatnot, and it seems like Matt Hasselbeck is doing pretty well, even with, you know, the young receiving core that he has. I know Kenny Britt being out, that's a big loss for them. And Ike Taylor and Nate Washington is going to be a nice matchup to watch all game long. But I think they're going to try and stick to their bread and butter, you know, and why wouldn't you? With the way the Steelers' defense has looked against the run lately, and you got, you know, one of the top two or three running backs in the league in Chris Johnson, you know, why not feed him the ball, you know, until they stopped him? And they got to prove that they can stop Chris Johnson, because you got one of the best running backs in the league there, and they are going to feed that horse until he is stopped. And that's what I think they're going to look to do. And then, you know, when they start, maybe hopefully the Steelers can stop him, they're going to have to try and throw some play action at him, try and, you know, beat him deep possibly. But I really think they're going to come out early and often and try and run the football.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was talking to Jim Wyatt on the Thursday podcast, beat writer for the Titans, for the Tennessean paper, and he thinks the same thing. He thinks that, you know, and the Titans have had problems running the ball up until last week, had 100 yards. I think they're still rated ranked last in the league in rushing. But that doesn't mean anything. You know, Mike Munchak being the head coach, I think they want to try to see, you know, if they can do what they've seen on film with other teams do with kind of this zone blocking scheme that they use as well. So I would expect a lot of what we've seen over the past few weeks. It's up to the Steelers to try to stop it now. I think another key to this thing is, you know, tight ends have been blistering us this year. So Foote and Ferrier and Troy, you know, Troy's going to have to probably pay more of attention to the help pay more attention bracketing these tight ends or covering them one-on-one. I also see, you know, teams really haven't gone after William Gay and Keenan Lewis and nickel situations this year the last several weeks. I suspect I think Ike Taylor's going to wrap Nate Washington up, you know, if in times where he's got him one-on-one there. I think the matchups are going to be on the other side there, and I would expect Hasselbeck to try to do what other quarterbacks have done in the past, take the underneath stuff, you know, to that side of the field and try to go after, you know, after either Gay or Lewis with the Williams kid at wide receiver over there. And, you know, their wide receiver crew really doesn't scare me too terribly much. They got Hawkins over there, and Donnie Avery, of course, is new to the team over there. But, you know, that doesn't scare me so much, as long as you stop the run and put them into predictable passing situations there. So that's what I'm looking at, you know, as far as what the Titans offense is going to try to do. Now, on the defensive side of the ball with them, you know, that ball at defensive end, that's we talked about what the Steelers need to do on offense, you know, not putting the pressure on Starks to have to pass protect for 35 to 40 plays a game. And I think that would be the smart situation. I think you kind of run up the gut with these guys, because I think we'll see Redmond get plenty of carries. Mendenhall could be down this week. And Redmond's earned that shot, if you ask me. That guy runs like a bowling ball down a lane. He really hits the hole hard. He doesn't come down on first contact. I think when he gets to the second level, he's hard to bring down. He always seems to fall forward as well. And you hit on something on the negative. You know, we got to get away from those negative yards you know, those negative plays on running downs. I think if we nip those out of there, and I think with some of these trap plays like we saw against the Seahawks, for one thing, I think, you know, Redmond will be able to bust one or two of them between the tackles this week here. And, you know, there's nothing better to see a big back running free in a secondary and make someone like a Cortland Finnegan or, you know, Michael Griffin have to come up and stop that kid coming through here. So I guess you'd pretty much think the same on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the way Isaac Redmond runs the football, and he's the epitome of a Steeler running back. I'm sure, you know, everybody likes Rashard Mendenhall. You know, he's a good back lately. He's been tiptoeing a little bit, but, you know, you're kidding yourself if you think Rashard Mendenhall ain't the workhorse in that Steeler offense. But, you know, when Isaac Redmond comes in, there isn't too much of a drop-off. He doesn't have the explosion or the acceleration or, you know, a little bit of quickness and flashiness that Mendenhall might have, but he's a Steeler running back. He is a north and south, in your face, up the gut, falling forward, not going to lose yards. He's just going to pound it up in there, and, you know, just like the bus used to do, if there's nothing there, he's going to create his own hole, 2 yards, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, live to play another down, and he's a very underrated pass blocker as well. I mean, if you know, get to see the film like we do, he goes in there and blows guys up. I mean, Mendenhall, you know, we've seen some highlight hits from Mendenhall, him stepping up and blowing linebackers up on a blitz, but Isaac Redmond can do it just as good, if not better. And I'm looking forward to see what he can do with his opportunities this week.
Yeah, you hit on a good thing. Mendenhall, I mean, Redmond really has become a complete back, and we saw what he did last year, split out wide on kind of that hot read against the Ravens and scored a touchdown there. And Mendenhall had a whiff on one. Did you catch that one on the blitz pickup on Mendenhall this past week where he whiffed on one of those?
I can't recall. Honestly,
yeah, he had a whiff on there on one of those blitz pickups, and it's rare for him. I mean, it's going to happen. The thing is, you know, you've got Jonathan Dwyer. If Mendenhall's down, Dwyer's going to back him up. And let's face it, right now, even though Dwyer progressed a little bit during the preseason in that situation, that's not a guy that you want in there on third down. So I expect Redmond to get, you know, if Mendenhall's down, I expect Redmond to get the bulk of the work. I would imagine they'd probably spell him for a series at maybe every third or fourth series to get Dwyer in there and to get him some carries. But if it gets to third down, I think you'll see Redmond back in there if Mendenhall's down. I really think the smart play this week with that hamstring is to let Mendenhall sit this week as well. You know, even if it means having to promote John Clay from the practice squad for the weekend, you know. So, you know, it'll be something to watch on Saturday that we mentioned at the top of the show there. So, you know, what's the fan base going to do, Nick, if – let's say Redmond runs for 120 yards and two scores and the Steelers, you know, the defense holds. Let's say the Steelers win by 14 or 17 points. What is this fan base going to do if Redmond has a day like that?
They're going to do what every fan base does. They're going to call for Mendenhall's head, and I think, you know, call for Isaac Redmond to be in there. But, you know, we got to kind of keep our cool, you know. When Rashard Mendenhall goes in there and tears it up like he did, you know, a year ago or whatever against the San Diego Chargers, Rashard Mendenhall's an explosive back. He's a good runner. He's 5'10", 225 pounds, built like a brick. And, you know, when he does run downhill, he can blow people up. And, you know, when he accelerates and gets around the corner, he is fast and he is explosive and he is flashy. And you know, everybody loves Mendenhall when he does it right. But I think the way he's been tiptoeing a little bit, you know, people are kind of getting on him about it, and, you know, everybody wants to see a problem. You know, it just seems to be how the world seems to work these days, and if Redmond goes out there and, you know, has a day, I guarantee you're going to have people calling in, you know, saying, get Mendenhall out of there, we want our big bruising running back, and, you know, that's not going to happen, but I think you could see people kind of sway that way.
Yeah, hey, let's face it, that's going to be a good problem to have. He runs for $120 and two touchdowns, and I mean, I'm rooting for the kid. I like the kid. I think he runs hard. I like his running style. You know, the fans will probably get their wish this week with Redmond in there, so, you know, it'll definitely be something to watch. For those of you jumping right in the middle of this podcast here and wondering who's on the other end there, my partner, my co-host David Todd's got that, you know, needed a night off tonight, so I've got Nick Ricchetti in, the Steel City Kid 117 on Twitter. He does a lot of film work for me on the offensive side of the ball, so make sure you hit him up on Twitter. Nick, let's look around the NFL here this week. Tell me some of the, David asked me what I thought about some of the surprises in the last show, so I'm going to throw that same question at you. What have you seen around the NFL, that's kind of surprised you thus far? Let's start with the AFC.
I'm going to go with the obvious pick in the Buffalo Bills. Been playing well. Ryan Fitzpatrick has really been controlling that offense. Fred Jackson is absolutely tearing it up. Stevie Johnson is doing well. That offense seems to be clicking. They had a little hiccup last week against the Bengals. But I'm really surprised at what the Buffalo Bills are doing. And going in there and beating the Patriots, I was so happy to see that. I love seeing the look on Brady and Belichick's face, and I love listening to Belichick's press conference after that. It just, even if the Steelers lose, it always puts a smile on my face when I can see Brady and Belichick cry together. But the Buffalo Bills have been a pleasant surprise, and, going in this week, who are they playing this week?
The Bills, who do the Bills have this week? I'm trying to pull, the Eagles this week. That's right. They're, the Eagles are favored by 3 in this game.
And I cannot wait until the Buffalo Bills go in there and beat them, because I am just, about an hour north of Philly. I'm up here in Pennsylvania. Even though I'm a Steelers fan, I'm in Eagle country down here, and I got to rep my black and gold and listen to all these fans. And, the thing that bothers me the most about the Eagles fans is, they're the first ones to boo their team when they're doing terrible, and the first to jump back on the bandwagon when they're doing well. So I hope the Buffalo Bills go in there and keep surprising everybody and blow them up.
What's going to happen up there? I know how that fan base is up there. Philly fan is absolutely the worst, it seems. Is Andy Reid? Yeah, I know they're calling for his head already again. They do it every year. But if they lose this game, this is the dream team that we're talking about here. What happens if they lose this game to the Bills and go to, what would that make? I guess that'd make them, 1-4?
Yep, 1-4.
What's going to happen up there? You got a good pulse on up there. What's being said on the radio up there?
The same thing you just said. Andy Reid is already on the hot spot. On the hot seat, just like he is every single year. Everybody always says, he's the worst clock manager in the league, and he's there spending two timeouts in the first 10 minutes of the first quarter. And if they fall to 1-4 with the talent they have on this team, on paper, everyone came in and was looking at this Eagles team and was like, wow, Nnamdi Asamoah, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, Asante Samuel, Vic, Macklin, Jackson, Shady McCoy, who is going to beat this team? And, then they come in and implode and, look terrible. And, their defense can't stop the pass. And now the Asamoah can't adjust to the zone coverage scheme. And I just, you can have a bunch of stars on one team, but it doesn't constitute a team. You got a bunch of individuals playing for themselves out there, and I think that's their problem. And, Michael Vick seems to be slipping back into his old Michael Vick ways. When he came in, he was, grateful to be at it. Just be out of prison and be playing football again. But, now he seems to be wanting to pass the buck a little bit. My offensive line this and the league's not protecting me that. And I'd like to send a letter to Mr. Vick and say, hey, call up Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe he'll shed a tear for you,
That's but, a good point.
But, I couldn't be happier with the way they're playing right now. And I hope Buffalo goes in and kick the snot out of them. And I can't wait to go to school and, walk around town here and hear these Eagles fans jump ship on their team like they do every year.
Yeah, and I think we both can ask you about the NFC real quick. I think we can agree the Detroit Lions are the team that are really getting it done this year, and they're going to be on Monday Night Football against the Bears this week, and Lions are favored by 6 and playing on Monday Night Football. I don't know if we're flashing back to the 50s here or what, but the way they're getting it done, though, is big plays and turnovers, man. I preach this all the time with that talk stat that I like to track every week and all, and that's how they're getting it done. And I think they're a plus 14 right now in their talk stat, which takes the differentials of turnovers and explosive plays. And, boy, that Megatron is something else, man. I ended up in a couple of high-dollar leagues. I ended up drafting Andre Johnson over Megatron, and I'm paying for it right now that Johnson's out for a couple of weeks. But those Lions, they really are playing good.
They look fantastic, and you know what? It's one of those feel-good stories where, you know, I love my team, and I don't like to cheer for any other team, but, you know, they're in the NFC, and I find myself pulling for them a little bit because they've just been so awful for the longest time now, and, you know, they finally, you know, are keeping Matthew Stafford healthy. Hopefully they can continue to do that because with him and Jarvis Best and Calvin Johnson might be the biggest mismatch in the league. I don't think there is one corner in this league that can cover him one-on-one. I don't think there is one person in this league that can cover him one-on-one.
They threw it up to him with three guys on him the other day against the Cowboys.
He is just a freak. He is just too big, too strong, too fast. I mean, Megatron is the perfect name for him because he is a robot. He is something else. And I think the big question, you know, on both sides of the ball coming in for them this year was going to be how could their offensive line play? That would be the key for them on offense. And then if their secondary could hold up, that's the key for them on defense. And so far they have answered those questions in a big way.
Yeah, and, you know, there's nothing flashy really with them, you know, on the offensive line. You know, I would say, you know, that Chellis kid's finally playing good, living up to expectations. You got Dominic Raiola over there at center and Backus at left tackle. And they're just a well-coached team right now, you know, and I think they've done real good with the staff over there and all, you know, keeping them grounded too through this hot start. And boy, if they can kick the Bears' ass on Monday night, people are going to have to stand up and take notice. And I think they probably will. Speaking of picking these games this week, I've been chasing my book around from week to week trying to make some money here, and I've just had a pitiful start of the season through the first 4 weeks picking some games. David's done all right, but I've been easy to beat here. So let's go through these games, Nick, real quick, and I'll give you the spread, and you tell me who you like plus the points here, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
All right, we got the Chiefs at the Colts. The Colts given 3.
I'm going to take the Colts.
You're going to take the Colts and lay the points.
Yep.
You know what? This is a tough game. I like the Colts at home here. I think the Chiefs won their first game, I think, last week against Minnesota, but I think the Colts get this one done at home. I'm laying a 3 as well. You got Arizona going to Minnesota, and you have Minnesota minus 3.
I'll go Arizona. Minnesota's been playing awful lately. Adrian Peterson can only do so much. McNabb has looked really bad. And if that Arizona offense can get going with Cobb and Larry Fitzgerald and Beanie Wells exploding last week, I think they can get it done even in Minnesota.
I think if the Vikings get off to a rough start in this game, I think you could see the kid from Florida State finally get in here in this game. So I'm going to go with Arizona as well. I want the points there in Arizona in this game. We talked about the Eagles and the Bills. The Eagles are laying 3. I think are you on the Bills on this?
Is it in Philly?
It's on the road in Buffalo.
It's in. All right. You know, I'll stick with the Bills. I can't really go back on them from what I just, you know, ripped the Eagles. So yeah, I'll stick with the Bills.
Okay. I don't know. The Bills should have beat the damn Bengals last week. Should have helped the Steelers out there, but they didn't. I think this is a rebound game for the Eagles. I just got a funny feeling about this. I want the Eagles, and I'm going to lay the points in this game. Oakland against the Texans, who just took care of the Steelers last week there. Oakland travels to Houston. The Texans are favored by 6.
I'm going to go with the Texans.
Even without Andre Johnson,
even without Andre Johnson, I think Arian Foster coming back, having a good game against the Steelers, being a little healthier. Schaub doing well, hooking up with Owen Daniels a lot, and that Texans defense really getting after it in the pass rush. I think they can get to Campbell.
You know, I got a funny feeling that this is a letdown game. You know, Texans played it up as a big win against the Steelers last week. I think the Raiders are going to be able to do what the Steelers, you know, kind of build off of what the Steelers did in at portions of that game running the ball. So I want the Raiders plus the 6 points here. You have the Saints traveling to Carolina to take on the Panthers. Saints are favored by 7.
I'm going to stick with the Saints. I think they're too high-powered for the Panthers, even with Cam Newton playing well. Panthers defense still not very good. The Saints, with all those weapons they got on offense, I think can just explode. And even with their defense not playing too well, I think their offense is just going to be too much for Carolina.
I tell you what surprised me. That Cam Newton kid's really surprised me. He is hooking up a bunch with Steve Smith thus far, but I forget how many explosive plays. Let me look real quick here. They had 9 explosive plays through the air and 1 on the ground last week. They're just unreal. They had a +6 tox number and they lost. That's very, very rare to happen last week. I don't think they're going to be able to get as many explosive plays this week. I think there'll be a turnover or 2 in this game. I want the Saints. I want to lay the 7 points on the road there. You got the Bengals traveling down to Jacksonville. Jacksonville at home, favored by 3.
This is a tough one. This is almost like the toilet bowl. Two not too great teams going at it. I think the Bengals are going to be a little high on their win over the Bills next week, and I think Blaine Gabbert becoming a little more comfortable maybe in that offense, and Maurice Jones-Drew, hopefully he can get it going on the ground. He can help the Steelers out a bit. Kind of a heart and soul pick here, but I'm going to go with the Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think I'm going to bet this game, though. I mean, this will be one of the ones I stay away because this has a push written all over it. But give me the Jacksonville Jaguars at home, -3. Let's kind of fast forward through the rest of these real quick. You're kind of short on time. You got the Giants at home versus the Seahawks. Giants, -10.
Giants, anyway. Seahawks are just awful.
I'm with you. Give me the Seahawks plus the 10 points. I'm not betting this game, though, but this will be up in my picks tomorrow. But give me the Seahawks plus the 10 points there. You got Tampa Bay on the road going out west to play the 49ers. 49ers are laying 3.
Give me Tampa Bay. I think the 49ers, coming up with a big win against the Eagles last week, used it all up. Alex Smith, still not a very good quarterback. Frank Gore, struggling on the ground. Give me the Bucs.
You know what? I got a funny feeling that we haven't seen the Bucs play their best game yet this season. I'm convinced they've got them in them. I know it's dangerous to bet on a team like this going out west there. But, you know, give me the Buccaneers plus the 3 points. The Jets and the Patriots, man. Jets go to up to that Razor up there stadium and take on the Patriots, who've given up a lot of explosive plays this year. Patriots are favored by 8 at home.
As tough as this is going to be to say, I'm still going to go with the Patriots. The Jets offense looks almost anemic right now. Mark Sanchez can't get anything going. And I think, you know, some questions being raised about the Patriots lately. I think Brady and Belichick are going to put their little man hands in there and get their act together and go in and beat up on those loudmouth Jets a little bit. Give me the Patriots.
I think this will be the best game that Santonio Holmes and Mark Sanchez will have this season between the two of them. I'm not convinced that the Jets win this game, but I want the Jets plus those 8 points on the road. Let's see, Chargers travel to Denver. They had trouble with Denver last year. It might be payback time. Chargers go on the road to Denver, favored by 4.
Give me the Chargers. They're playing too well right now. Denver kind of up and down. Kyle Orton having a sporadic year. And the Chargers are just looking too good right now. Phillip Rivers, he's a crybaby, but he's a good quarterback. So give me the Chargers.
Yeah, let me have the Chargers -4 too. I'm with you on that. Packers travel to Atlanta. The Packers are favored by 6 on the road.
I'll take Atlanta in this one. Even though I think the Packers are going to win the game, I think it's going to be close, especially going into Atlanta. So I think maybe hopefully Atlanta can get it going a little bit on the ground. Matt Ryan can, you know, start throwing to those explosive receivers, and I'm going to go to Atlanta.
I am too. I can't get off Atlanta at home, man. Matt Ryan's a different quarterback at home. If they can keep him upright, I think they'll have a chance in this game. So I want the Falcons at home plus the 6. We talked about the Bears on Monday night. Travel to Detroit, Lions -6.
I'm going to go with the Lions anyway. First Monday night game in however many years, at home. That fan base is going to be pumped up. Those Lions are going to be pumped up. And I just think there's going to be something special in the air tonight, that night for the Lions, and I think they go in and eat up the Bears pretty well, even though Matt Forte is going to have a nice day.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think this, I think the crowd's going to be pumped. It wouldn't surprise me if this game was kind of tied going late there was maybe a deep ball to Megatron late for the 7-point cover here. So I'm with you. Give me the Lions minus six. Okay, it's prediction time. Steelers, Titans. Nick, give me a score prediction on this. The Steelers are at home, favored by 3.5 right now.
I think the Steelers are finally going to get this run game going a little bit. Isaac Redman's going to get a ton of touches. They're going to protect Ben a little bit better because the coaches are going to be up their butts about giving him time. The defense is hacked off. They're going to stop the run, stuff Chris Johnson, really get after Matt Hasselbeck. And I'm going to go with the Steelers' victory, 27-13.
27-13. You know what? I'm with you, too, on this. I think, despite all the injuries and everything, I think they're going to be able to run the ball. We talked about Redman earlier. I think Redman has that big game. I think he drives the fan base crazy after this. I think there's a lot of talk about they should bench Mendenhall after this week. And I think it'll be stir up the fan base. I think it's going to be a close game, though. I think the Steelers cover. I'm going to go 24-17 Steelers in this one. And they'll get that win. It won't make the fan base happy, though. Everybody will say the Steelers should have beat this team anyway. But, you know, it'll be a good problem to have to be 3-2, and we can start talking about Jacksonville the following week there. Nick, hey, buddy, I appreciate you filling in for David tonight. You got anything else you want to add before we close out?
I don't think so. I think I speak for everybody when I'm hoping for a Steelers victory this weekend. Let's get back to Steelers football. Let's run the football. Let's stop the run. Let's look dominant again and get this win for the black and gold.
I'm with you. Everybody, that's Nick Ricchetta. He's joining me tonight. Still City Kid 117, joining me on the Terrible Podcast. He does a lot of work behind the scenes. He's underpaid having to watch some of these losses and all and chart this stuff. I know it drives him crazy, but Nick, I appreciate you joining me tonight.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm looking forward to future talks.
All righty, and that'll do it. David Todd will be back with me on Monday. Hopefully we're recapping the Steelers' win. This has been Episode 27, Season 2 of the Terrible Podcast. Thanks for listening.